In just a moment, we're going to hear the Word of God preached from Vinny Commons. But just before he comes up, I'd like for us to read the Word of God together. Genesis chapter 12 is where we'll be looking this morning. So we'll read Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 10. Then I'll hand it over to Vinny. Now the Lord had said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. And I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. And he moved from there to the mountain east of Bethel. And he pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. So Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. Now there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to dwell there, for the famine was severe in the land. I trust that God will add his blessing to the reading of his word. I'll turn it over to Vinny. Thank you.
Well, a very good morning to everybody. It's nice to see you. Thank you, Digby and Marianne, for allowing us to come and take your service. Let's just ask God to bless his word to us. Dr. Billy Graham said in a sermon, "There comes a time when another voice takes over." So we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for thy word. I want to be obedient to your word, so please teach me your way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, do have your Bible open at Genesis 12. The Christian life is a life of faith. Now, it's not faith in faith. It's faith in facts. So if you haven't got any facts, but you've got faith, ditch your faith quick. All right? Because the Christian life is all based on the fact that God is, and secondly, the fact that God has entered our world. Thirdly, that God died on a cross for sinners, as we've heard, and he rose from the dead, which no other person has done, and he will come again. Now, they are just A, B, C facts, like one and one is two. And in the Christian life, you've got to have your faith, if it's genuine, solidly founded on such facts. Many years ago, there was a man by the name of Abram. And God was to lay his hand upon him, and he was to tell him to walk by faith, and not by sight. So this man, who lived in a town or city or place called Ur of the Chaldees, was 75 years of age. He had married Sarah. And God said, "Now get out of your country to a land that I would show thee." Well, Abraham was obedient at that point, and he loaded up a lot of his family, not all of them. But he had one person with him particularly, whose name was Lot. Now, Lot was his nephew, because Abraham's brother, which was Lot's dad, had died. So Abraham took hold of Lot and set off. He didn't actually know where he was going, but he was certainly going. And God said, "When you get to the land I then want you to live in, I will tell you where it is. And the land was called the land of Canaan. The reason it was called land of Canaan is the Canaanites were in the land. They occupied the place. And God said, this is the land, settle here. American Bible teacher Warren Wiersbe said, a faith that can't be trusted can never be tested. And a faith that can't be tested shouldn't be trusted. And so if you're going to get real faith, folks, then God is going to give you an acid test. And that test came to Abraham by the way of a famine. It says there was a famine in the land. So he'd arrived at the right place, but a famine then hit the land he was now dwelling in, this newfound place. Now, how was he going to respond? Well, what he did, he thought like this. There's quite a few in my family. If I now leave this land and go south, I'll enter Egypt. If I enter Egypt, there's a land of plenty. So I've got to look after my family. It's probably a Christian thing to do, though he probably didn't think like that. And I've got to move south. So God had said, stay there. But he went south. He went to a land which was sensual, Egypt, where people went off what they could see. He went off what they could touch, feel, smell, etc. And he thought he knew what was going to happen. Now, this is what I want you to get. That when you do life, you're going to make an impact. Your impact will either be for good, or it might be neutral, or worse than that. But you'll certainly do life and make an impact. If you walk by faith, there will be consequences for blessing. Because Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith it is impossible to please God. But those who please him, who walk by faith, who believe that he is, please him. And he's a rewarder of those who diligently please him. So you'll either please God by walking by faith, or you'll think like Abraham thought in this instance, and you'll think like the people in the world, and you might reason by sight as he did in Egypt. But whatever happens, folks, there's going to be an impact. Now, this is where it gets interesting. There are four consequences in his life when he didn't walk by faith. And I want to look at the point when he didn't walk by faith and what was the outcome, so that you and me don't make the same mistakes. Okay? So your faith is going to be tested. Somebody tells me they've become a Christian, I'll say, come back in a year. Any idiot can say I've become a Christian. But if you're going to be tested and stand up there, you've got to then get the genuine faith. It's interesting in the New Testament. See, I came from a non-Christian home into this, whereas some of you come from Christian homes, and you might think, just as we've heard earlier from Chris, well, I was only 5, and could I really take it in? But actually, Paul said to Timothy, the genuine faith that is in you. And he came from a Christian mum and a Christian grandma. So it's very genuine if you came from that background. But for me, coming like a bit like Saul of Tarsus, from out of it, into it, I want to make sure I've got the real McCoy, the real faith. Now, this is what we're going to look at. How did he respond? What was his consequences? He was married to a beautiful lady. She was about 75. Her name was Sarah. And he thought, when I go to Egypt, because it's a sensual land, what's going to happen is they're going to look on you. They're going to take me out of the ball game, get shut of me. And then you are going to be maybe Pharaoh's wife. And this is how he reasoned. So I want you to look at the first test. Okay, when he goes south and he goes into Egypt. And verse 10, there was a famine in the land, and Abraham went down to Egypt to live there. The famine was very severe in the land. It came to pass, when he was close to entering Egypt, that he said to Sarah, his wife, indeed, I know that you're a woman of beautiful countenance. Therefore, it will happen, when the Egyptians see you, they will say, this is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will let you live. Sarah, please say that you're my sister, that it may be well with me for your sake, and that I might live because of you. what he said to his wife was, "Sarah, please say that you're my sister." Okay. Now, hands up if you think that was true. The answer is it was. Because it was his half-sister. He'd married his half-sister. But when he said to Pharaoh, "Please say you're my sister, don't say you're my wife," what was he doing? He was thinking, this will secure my future. What he should have done, he's trusted God. But he was trying to wangle it, change the circumstances, order it, and he wasn't walking by faith. Now what didn't he do? He didn't tell the truth. So ladies and gentlemen, I want to ask you a simple question. Do you tell the truth? I was driving through Ormskirk and I had to park up near Elijah McCurry lives, you know, the posh part of town. And my car had a bit of fellowship with Megan. Now don't panic, I didn't run her over, she was a car, it's called Megan. So my VW met Megan. And I thought, oh dear, I just bumped this car. But there's nobody looking. So I thought, well, what am I going to do now? And the Sunday, which was the day before, I've been telling people to walk by faith and not by sight. So I thought, right, it might cost me a bit of money, but I guess this car belongs to somebody behind that door, because it was the nearest door. So if you're about to tell anybody that you bumped the car, it's quite an intimate experience, because you've got to say something that they think, oh, no, you know, absolute write-off. So I knocked on this door, and out comes this woman looking like a Mount Vesuvius ready to take off, you know, and explode. I said, "Excuse me, madam, I've just come to tell you I bumped your car." Well, she looked like a bulldog chewing a wasp at that point, you know. What? I said, "Don't panic, I've only scratched it." Right. She came marching down the drive. John, come here, John. Well, John suddenly was walking past. Must have been a neighbour. "Come here, this man bumped my car." Well, he got down. "What do you think, John? What do you think?" You know, you can see these sort of pound signs flying, couldn't you? You see, folks, why didn't I just drive off? Because God is watching. He's been watching you before you even turned up on planet Earth. He's been watching all the time. God is watching. And the interesting thing is this, that if I am a Christian, I'm called to tell the truth. And so, when the lady came out, I said, "Madam..." Oops. Digby's waving. Thank you, Digby. I said, "Madam, I've bumped your car." "Well, John," he said, "it'll touch up with a bit of whatever it is." "Go on," she said. Now, would it have cost me a lot of money? Could have cost me some money. But do you tell the truth? Do I tell the truth? A man got onto a bus in Liverpool. The bus driver gave him £5 too much money. He sat on the back, he counted his change, he thought, "Whoa, it's my lucky day." And he's thinking, "I've got £5 a bit." Well, it is a recession. And then he's thinking, "Oh, Mersey Bus is a big company, they won't miss a fiver." Well, he got off the bus a few stations later on and he said, "Excuse me, sir, you gave me £5 too much." He was giving the money back to the driver. The driver said, "I know. I've been sneaking into the back of your church, listening to your sermons," because he was a preacher. "I just wanted to know whether you were an honest man." Folks, there's a lot of Christians not telling the total truth. A girl in Liverpool YL called Susan Clark went for an interview. You can talk to people who know Susan. Some of you go to her church. Secretary, PA to the boss. Interview question: "Will you tell lies for me?" And what does that mean? When I'm out, say I'm in. And when I'm in, tell them I'm out. "I'm sorry, I can't do that." "Well, Miss Clark, you won't be getting the job." But she maintained her integrity, didn't she? And so, I just simply want to ask you a question. Do you tell the truth? Tell them that you're my sister. That was half a truth, wasn't it? Folks, if you ever blow it in any direction, just say, "I'm terribly sorry, I've blown it." If politicians would learn that lesson, they'd get voted in. Because we all blow it And humanness touches humanness. And so, number one, he didn't walk by faith. Now, how did Pharaoh respond to the Christian who didn't walk by faith? He said, why didn't you tell me that she's your sister? Or she's your wife? Why didn't you tell me? Get out. He'd lost all his credibility in the eyes of Pharaoh and the Egyptians. And folks, if you ever tell lies and you're found out, never say you're a Christian for a while, will you? Because they'll just say, forget it, we've got loads of them. Because he didn't tell the truth. Okay, and there's consequences when you don't walk by faith. Now, the next area whereby he didn't walk by faith, he's still in this land he should never have been in. Pharaoh says, get out of here. And then what happens is that he leaves and goes north to the land of Canaan. And he's then back in the right place. And so what happens, and we read the next little bit to tell you, is this. Look at chapter 13. Now Abram went up from Egypt, he and his wife, and all he had, and Lot was with him, to the south. But look at verse 2. Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and gold. Remember, God had said, get out of Ur of the Chaldees, get out, leave it all behind, walk by faith. Now what's happened to him? He's loaded. Now, isn't it interesting, folks, that the hardship, the famine came when he was in the right place that God was pleased with. And he got the rewards of gold and silver and cattle and camels and everything when he was in the wrong place. So don't tell me that prosperity is a mark of obedience. Jonathan Edwards decided he could run and jump on Sunday. His mate said to him, you can win the gold medal. He won it. Now, he's saying he's an atheist. He wins the gold medal. Is that God's blessing? Well, it weren't for these guys, was it? And what happened was this. It caused tension in the family because the herdsmen of Lot and the herdsmen of Abraham had a barney. Look at it here, verse 6. Now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together, for their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. Verse 7. There was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. The Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelt in the land. So what you've got now is another consequence of Abram going to the wrong country. All of a sudden he gets rich. And then, the land they're meant to be in, it can't sustain the number of animals. So all these guys on Lot's side have a barney with all these on Abraham's side. So what you've got is this family being ripped apart. All because they didn't walk by faith. And so, the simple lesson is this. Am I causing any family tension? Some of you know my friend Eric Ford. He's the funniest Irishman I know. He had heart trouble. They sent him to a Dublin hospital. I said, Eric, as he loves to tell people about the Lord Jesus, he said, Vincent, I was telling them, blessed are the pacemakers, he said to me. Blessed are the pacemakers, he was telling them. Well, it's not the pacemakers, it's the peacemakers, isn't it? Blessed are the peacemakers. Folks, I'm asking you this question. Do you cause tension? Do I cause tension? Don't be a wimpy Christian that can't have a straight up talk. And then behind closed doors, you're lying to the person. You're really telling me that you're too soft and fearful. That's what you're telling me, isn't it? To say anything. But if you've got to speak to people, try and do it graciously. Because blessed are the peacemakers. I was once in Liverpool. I went to a church called The Bridge. And some of you know The Bridge. And the very first day I went to The Bridge Chapel, my car was nicked. So if you've got it, could you let me have it back, please? But it's an antique now. It's probably worth a lot of money. But here we go. I'm at The Bridge, and my mate Paul Bryan, who goes to The Bridge, and Gwen said, Vinnie, come for dinner. So I go around the estate, find the house, and I go for dinner. One sunny afternoon. When I get there, there's another body for dinner. He's called Leonard. He's about 100 years old. Now, Leonard is a guy who just loves witnessing. And yet, he's losing it a bit. But he's really keen on telling people. So he's talking to people about the Lord Jesus, and we're sat down, and I start talking. And then all of a sudden, Leonard stands up after half an hour into this meal, puts his coat on, sticks his hat on, which is a bit like your hat, degree, and marches out the door. And I just turned to Gwen. I said, Leonard went quite quick there. Yes, it was you. Well, I could have been pinned to the wall. You spoke about our minister. He's offended by you. God is listening. Blessed are the peacemakers. And so, he caused tension, didn't he? Now, am I a source of tension? Come and tell me if I am. And if you're a source of tension, I've got to speak to you, haven't I? And you know anybody who's a source of tension because they daren't say it to the person they should say it to. Because they're a wimp. It's quite simple. Is that good enough in teenage terms? Are you getting the message? You've got to be willing to speak up. Lovingly, graciously, kindly. Okay, well he didn't do it, did he? So he was in the wrong place. Now, third one. I'm watching this enemy on my wrist here. Now, when he had a bit of a sort out, this is what happened next. Remember, he had to live in the land of Canaan. And so, because there was a strife, then he turned to Lot and he said, look, we can't live together. We're always falling out. So I'll tell you what we'll do. If you go right in the land, I'll take left. And if you turn that you want left, I'll take right. But I'll let you decide, Lot, so have a look, see what you want to do. Now, notice what happens now. Look at verse 7, the strife, then jump to verse 9. Is not the whole land, Lot, before you? Please separate from me. If you take the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left. Now, look at verse 10. Remember, Egyptians walk by sight. Christians walk by faith. Look at verse 10. And Lot lifted his eyes, saw all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere, before the Lot destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as you go towards Zoar. Lot said, this bit of the land is just like Egypt. How did he know what Egypt was like? Answer, he'd just been there. So when he made his decision, he thought, this is the place I'm going to be. But he was right on the edge of Sodom and Gomorrah. In other words, what had happened because Abraham didn't walk by faith? An appetite for Egypt went into his nephew, and when his nephew made life choices, he got to the edge. Well, this is what happened to him. He was sucked into Sodom and Gomorrah. He then became the father of the enemies of God. Because his children committed incest. And his wife, I'm not sure she was a Christian, because we don't read of that, but she became a pillar of salt. In other words, what had happened, folks, he caused another believer in his family to trip up. So my question to you is, do you so live that you're concerned about people around you? Now, I don't just mean out and out sins. I mean, you live your life so that if God deserves the best, you're willing to give him the best. Some of you know my friend Barry Davis. Barry is from Burnley. He's 5'10" wide. He went to Belfast Bible College to study the Beatitudes. So he's Barry from Burnley at the Belfast Bible College studying the Beatitudes. He's a missionary in Nicaragua. Barry loved boxing. His nickname was Picasso, because I'm always on the canvas, he said. That was his nickname. And what happened, folks, was Barry went up to Harrogate. He was in the evangelical church there. He got his boxing machine out. He was training and trying to keep it intact. All the young people started coming round. Then it got more and more. They got really excited. The church called an open air or a prayer meeting. They never showed up, but they were there for the boxing club. So Barry got his £250 leather gloves and put a razor blade through them and said, no more. Do you know why? Because he didn't want people to give God second best. Now, you look at Barry's life, a man who was in jail at 16, has now opened 2 Christian schools in Nicaragua. Isn't that amazing? You don't do that unless you start from a premise, God deserves the best. So I will give him the best. And when you live like that, you never trip anybody up. So a man was walking down a lane and he saw a light coming towards him and he realised it was a torch and then he realised it was being carried by a man who also had a white stick. And this got the better of him because he thought, there is a man coming towards me with a white stick. Is he blind? If he's not blind, why has he got a stick? He's thinking about this and then the torch is on. So he's thinking, I can't work this out at all. So he stopped the man and he said, sir, are you blind? And the old man said, yes, I've been blind since birth. He said, do you realise you're carrying a torch and wasting your batteries because your torch is on? He said, I know. I often carry this torch. It's not that I don't want to trip over anything. It's just that I don't want anybody to trip over me. Who've you tripped? Who've I tripped? My youngest brother, I used to call him names. He spent a lot of his life in a mental hospital. I feel I'm responsible. So you go home to sit with him or be with him. You're the cause. Never work in his life again. If you tripped. And so you come to the fourth consequence of not walking by faith. God had said to Abraham, you're going to have a child. Sarah was excited. In fact, she was incredibly excited because she was 75 plus. You know? And God, Abraham often said to God, but God, you said one will come from my own body. And God would say, now go out, look into the stars. Count them. That's the number of your descendants. And you will have a child that comes from your body. Well, you can imagine Sarah, tell us another mate. But God does the supernatural. Because he's God. He can take nothing and bring the universe. He can speak to zilch. Let there be light. And out comes everything. So he can certainly control a woman's womb. But this is how Sarah reasoned. She thought, well, Abraham, you're a bit of an old dodderer. And I'm no better. And we're meant to have a child. So we now come to chapter 16. Verse 1. Now, Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. So, Sarah, Abraham's wife, had borne him no children. But he was promised a child, wasn't he? And she had a French maidservant. Igby, what was it? Maybe I've lost it in translation here. What does it say in your verse? Chapter 1. She had a what? Maidservant?
Egyptian.
Must be like, this is New King James. Anything can happen, you know. Now listen. She wasn't French. She wasn't Irish. She wasn't English. She wasn't Scotch. The maidservant. Guess what country she came from? You've got it. Egypt. If he never had gone to Egypt, she wouldn't be on board, would she? You say, well, what's so big about that? I'll tell you. All the problems in the Middle East. Because they had a baby, Ishmael, through Hagar, the Egyptian maidservant. And straight away, that line of people fought the spiritual line of Abraham, the Jew. You see, folks, if you walk by faith, God can bless you. But if you're not going to walk by faith, don't think you're going to be neutral. You're going to get some consequences. All you guys are not Christians. Remember this. You're going to lose, and eventually lose your name and your soul. And nobody will remember you, not even your family. But Jesus, who says, come unto me and I will give you life. And you can have your soul saved and enter the most remarkable family. It's worldwide. It's part of Abraham's family. The spiritual line. And then the riches of heaven is yours. So I simply want to ask you a question, folks. Are you walking by faith? Now, it's not based on fantasy. You know, some guy, well, we've all got faith. As long as you believe, you're all right. You get them all the time. You say, all right, then go to the top of the building and believe for 10 minutes that you'll be fine when you jump off. Go on, have a go. That's not faith. That's nonsense. Because there are certain laws that operate. And if you don't observe them, you're in trouble. And there are certain spiritual laws that operate. One's called obedience and then blessing. If you ignore them, you miss it. But God says, walk by faith. Trust me. So here's the question. Am I trusting God? I will now tell you where I didn't trust God. So you get the idea. About 12, 13 years ago, I needed a new car. And I had £1,000 to buy it with. Okay? Well, I looked in the paper, and I saw an advert for a nice car in Southport for about £2,500, £3,000, something like that, more than I had. I thought, well, I'll just go around and see what type of car this is. The guy said, I'm the manager of Woolies, so you know how long ago it was. Woolies was still in operation. But the car wasn't being sold at Woolies. He wouldn't pick a mix, you know. This is a decent car. All right. He said, I've been given a promotion. They give me an extra car, so I'm selling it. It's in the garage. Well, he opened the garage. It was gorgeous. I can't remember what make it was, but it was red. It's enough for the ladies, isn't it? What car do you drive? Oh, a red one. So, I said, how much do you want for it? I think he said £3,000. I thought, oh, well, I'll let you know. Because I didn't have the money. I went home. And all evening, now, I don't often do this, but I'm just telling you what happened. I'm thinking, Vinny, offer him the money. You're meant to be trusting me, offering the money. Well, guys, unless it's written in the Bible, don't go off subjectivism, will you? But he was going. I rang him up and I said, sir, I just can't afford. Thank you. I've got a friend in Liverpool called Dr. Steve Taylor. The next day, a cheque arrived in the post from Dr. Steve Taylor. Vinny, I hear you need a car. Here's £3,000. I rang the man. Have you got the car? Sorry, it's gone. Check went back. You explain that to me. Manager of Woolies, go and see. Well, Woolies knows he's probably managed DIY somewhere now, but there we go. But this is the point, folks. Don't have a God that's not supernatural. It's called atheism, that. Live there, you'll have a boring Christian life. Step out the boat, trust the God of the Bible, you'll have a wonderful Christian life. Do you know why? Because your faith will honour a God who does miracles. So at 3 o'clock in the morning, Mark Timms from Leicester, used to be in Liverpool Young Life, looks like Barney Rubble if you know Mark, gives me a lift to Llandudno and then to Holyhead. I'm going to Ireland on a mission. I said to this man, I've only got 40 Irish pounds with me. That's before they went into the euro. I said to this man, do you think you could just take me across? Before I'd said it, I'd say, God, I'm on your business. Please get me across, but I only want a Christian to take me. 300 cars, 3 in the morning, ready to go on the ship. Where do you find a Christian? I went looking for a fish on the back of the car. I knocked on the door, he said, go on then, I'll take you across. I said, put my stuff on the back of his coat. Mind the fishing rods, he said. So, I took the fishing rods and put my stuff on, went up. Then you go down the other end, 2.5 hours later, into Dunleary or Dublin, wherever I was going. He said, Vinnie, thanks for your money, but your need's greater than mine. Here, have it back. I said, are you a Christian? He said, yes. Are you? He said, yes. He said, are you? I said, yes. I said, how did you know I was a Christian? He said, because sticking out of your box was your Korah sheet with Christ in the vessel. You can smile at the storm. And I've been reading it. And I looked and I had a rip in my bag and it was popping out, the thing in his back seat, and he was fishing rods. Folks, I don't know how you do it. It works. And so ask yourself, God, you see, can God save your brother and sister so hard? Can God take the mess that maybe I've made, you've made, that can be turned to good? He can. And I, a few years ago, got a prayer diary and started to pray for my folks. And one person I never thought had ever come through is my mum. 2 years ago, one Sunday afternoon, Vincent, she says in an Irish voice, tell me, what happened to all the people who died before Jesus? I said, well, mother, they walked by faith. They trusted the coming sacrifice, and Jesus was that coming, etc. And are you a Christian yet, mother? Are you forgiven? No, I don't think I am. She's 86 at this stage. I said, would you like to be a Christian? Yes, I would. We'll pray tonight. Up in the bedroom, mum prays. Comes a Christian, my mum. I said to her 2 days ago, mum, if you were serious about that prayer, the other, serious, you know, he shouted at me. Of course I'm serious. Because it meant a lot. Folks, you bring them to a God who can do miracles. So ask him to help you. And walk by faith, not by sight. Because faith is the means by which you please God. So we pray. We thank you, our Heavenly Father, for thy word. Please help me to walk by faith and not by sight. Please help me to trust you, to prove you in my life. And we thank you for this church. We pray for Digby and Marianne. Give them great wisdom as they lead it. In your precious name, amen.